Good morning. A very warm welcome to you on this very first day of November. It's exciting to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We just want to remind you of a few items. Hopefully you enjoyed the youth yummies that were downstairs during the beginning of the Sunday school hour and throughout. That's something they provide on a monthly basis as a fundraiser to help with supporting their youth events and looking forward to National Youth Conference in a few years. So we appreciate your supporting the youth. We also just want to highlight tonight is the Christian Poetry Fellowship, and that is held at the cafe at 7 p.m. So if you're interested in coming and hearing some very unique poetry, there's a gentleman that brings a guitar and sings poetry through taking some country songs and making them into Christian lyrics. It's a really meaningful time for us as we gather together tonight at 7. We do invite you on November 9th to mark your calendars for our every member church council meeting. You don't need to be a member to attend, just a member to vote, but we want to encourage you to come out to the every member council meeting on November 9th, and that's at 7:30. And we would encourage you to please attend that event. And we just want to encourage you as we go throughout this service to just be open to the Holy Spirit and His leading as we consider this opportunity to help others. So are there any other announcements this morning that anyone would like to make?
As a congregation, I have it turned on. I did. Push it again. Now it's off. Now it's off.
Testing. In recognition of Pastor Appreciation Month, which was in October, I know we're on November 1st today, we would just like to thank Matt for his service by presenting a gift certificate to him for JOY Bookstore. And I'd just like to read the card that we got to go along with it. Pastor Matt, God has called you, chosen you, ordained you, gifted you, equipped you, anointed you, instructed you, guided you, enabled you, blessed you. Matt, we thank God for you. We have been blessed to have you accept God's call to shepherd the Little Swatara congregation. Thank you for all you do in supporting God's ministry to us and the community around us, the Little Swatara Church. So,
thank you so much. It's been a wonderful blessing being here. Yes, John has an announcement to share about something unique you may be finding in your pews.
Right. You saw that. These are little gifts that come from the preschool. So if you see them in the bench and you would like to receive a gift from the preschool kids, they made them as part of, well, it says here in the back, Little Swatara Preschool is falling into the arms of God. Thanks for remembering us in every season. So if you find one of these, be welcome to take it and receive it as a gift from the preschool. If you don't really want to hang something on your fridge, leave it for someone else. But I think it's a great thing from our preschool. Thanks.
I'd also like to thank everyone that came out for the concert last evening for the Faithful Men to raise money for the Nigerian Crisis Fund. Through the concert and your donations, we have $1,500 to give to Nigerian Crisis Fund. So thank you very much.
To stand and greet one another and welcome them to the service this morning, and our senior choir will be leading us into our opening worship. Again, welcome. We're glad you're here. may be seated. Thank you. We look around us and we see many among us stricken with illness. We see many hurting, and yet amidst the pain and the sorrow, we also find times of joy and realize God is indeed present and blesses us in ways we sometimes don't expect. So we invite you during this time to share your heart where God has been moving, the joys in your life, and also those times you would invite others and us to pray during this time. So we open it up for a time of sharing.
I'd like prayers for Reed. He was taken to the doctor yesterday, and he's on a nebulizer, and he's breathing much better. But unfortunately, my mother has gifted me with old wives' tales. And last week, he dislocated his elbow. This week, he needs to be on a breathing machine. And we just hope that old wives' tales are wrong and there's not something third coming. So just keep him in your prayers, please.
Yes. Thank you.
And we have a joy. John's brother has been moved to a rehab. So that's a real joy since he's out of the hospital now.
Wonderful. And that's Leonard. Leonard, hi. Good update. Thank you.
For those that were at the concert last night, I think it's just awesome the amount of musical talent we have in this congregation. For us that aren't blessed with those abilities, we're kind of a little jealous about that, but I have trouble carrying a tune even with a wheelbarrow. But anyway, you need people to sing a joyful noise, but we also need people to hear a joyful noise, so it all evens out, I guess. I wanted to say about the clothing giveaway. Normally we would have that on Thursday or Friday and a Saturday, but we couldn't get to fellowship hall this year. It just seems like they had so much fellowshipping going on over there, there was no time we could fit it in. So instead we're having it on a Tuesday and a Wednesday next week. So if you want it, you can bring your clothes here by Monday morning, or you can take them over to the Lutheran Church over there in Salem, in Bethel, Sunday after church, or you can even take them over in the afternoon. I understand they have a place for you to put them if no one's there. And Monday morning we're going to be sorting, and we always can use sorters. Thank you.
A great way to reach out. And Ralph, you may not be able to sing, but you sure can share a poem. So we highly encourage you to use the giftedness that God has given you, and having the opportunity to hear Ralph share his poetry is just overwhelming. It's wonderful. Others this morning.
Last Sunday night, two of my neighbor boys were in a serious car accident, the Brubaker boys. The one boy walked away without a scratch, but the other boy has an injury on his brain. He has a broken bone in his neck, and he has collapsed lung, and he's in Lancaster General, and I would like to have prayers for him. And the boy that was driving, that walked away, is having a really tough time right now, and for the parents.
I'd like to ask for prayers for my friend Becky and her son, who's struggling with heroin addiction.
Just answered prayers and thanking everyone for their prayers. Obviously, Daniel's still doing well and responding to meds. And Sarah, results of Sarah's biopsy last week came back. Both masses they found were benign. So, answered prayers. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. We have prayers requested from Jay Doble. You used to go to church here. He has very serious back problems. He's going to need surgery.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you that we can gather under the protective shelter of this church. And we know there are those in our world, our Nigerian brothers and sisters, who want to gather but are persecuted in doing so. And Father, we know your hedge of protection goes around them, and we're praying for their peace, Lord. We're praying for their comfort as they deal with loved ones being killed. And Father, we just pray that you would move in their midst, that you would change the hearts of the persecutors. And we know that you are a God of peace and a God of mercy and compassion. So we pray that you would continue to allow our Nigerian brothers and sisters to be characterized by love and forgiveness. We think too, Lord, of Reed, and ask you to just enter into his dear precious life and just place your hand of healing upon him, Lord, as he goes through various struggles, and just pray this would be the end of those struggles and just allow him to return to complete health. And just thank you for Reed and for his family, and bless them, Lord. We think of the accident that happened, Lord, and the Brubaker boys, and the one in very poor condition right now, and the other one still suffering but healing well. And we just pray that you would just be a part of that process as the doctors nurture them and bring modern medicine to help with their recovery. But Father, we do recognize that you are the almighty physician. And so we pray, Lord, your healing touch upon those Brubaker boys, and also the boy that was involved in the accident and the struggles he's dealing with right now that are going through his mind. And just pray for a peace in that situation, Lord. But most of all, we just pray for overall healing. And just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for those things taking place. Lord, we know that addictions are real, and we think of the struggles that we have with addictions, and we're just praying that you would allow a breakthrough, that you would allow a light to go off in the head of those that deal with these addictions to see the love of Jesus that can pour into them and fill that void in their life that may have led them to that addiction. And just lift up that man now struggling with that addiction to heroin, and just pray for release from that struggle, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, to just allow that to just cease in cold turkey, Lord, if it would be your will, and just help him, Lord, as he goes through this time and seeks your guidance and your counseling through the name of Jesus. We think of those on our prayer concerns of Pete and Carol and Mike and Jen, Lord, dealing with headaches and unable to work right now. We lift up her in a special way this morning and pray that you would just allow relief to her pain that she's feeling through her just everyday headaches, and just allow that healing to take place, Lord. And we just thank you for your power that goes out and brings that healing touch to so many. And your will, we just pray, to be accomplished in each of our lives. And we think of Anna Mary, and we think of Kenny and Catherine and Joyce and Roberta and Chelsea and Carol and Bonnie and Jim this morning. Thank you, Lord, for bringing him here. And Shirley and Dorothy, we thank you for her presence this morning. And we pray for the refugee crisis in Europe. And we pray for continued healing of Barbara, Lord, as she recovers from her surgery. And we think of Leonard High and the progress report that we've received and is now in rehab. And Lord, we just give you glory for walking alongside him and just allowing that healing to take place. And we think of Loretta and Larry, and we think of the teenager, Haley, that they have no idea right now what's happening, Lord, but we know that you do know what's causing all the discomfort that she's feeling in her life. And again, Lord, just pray your healing touch upon Haley. And we think of Glenn and just pray for his digestive system, Lord, that you would bring a healing touch to that. And Lord, you know our thoughts. You know the people going through our minds right now. You know the struggles in our very own life, and you meet us where we are. So Father, we're praying this morning as we come before you, asking for your forgiveness for the sins that we committed this week, that you also would hear the prayers that are in our hearts as we come before you during these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, we want it to be our heart's desire to serve you, to help others, to seize the opportunities in our lives and not pass them by. But Father, we know that often we have caution and red flags as we face different situations. But Father, we pray that we would have compassion and mercy for our neighbors, Lord. And our neighbors include every person in this world, regardless of their race, regardless of their status in life. And we just pray, Lord, that we would just help and we would reach out and let your love go forth. So, Father, thank you again for being here in this place, your Holy Spirit's presence. And we pray that you would move us, that you would stir us to more fully be devoted followers of you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. From the book of Psalms, chapter 100, know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. Father, we thank you that we have the ability within us to give, to serve, to make your name great among this nation. So, Father, we come cheerfully before you, giving of our offerings and asking that you would not only bless the giver, but you would bless that offering to be used in accordance with your will, that we might further your kingdom and more people would come to know your wonderful and fantastic love. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I invite all the children to come up front with me. many of you guys like to read? Not many? Okay. Have you guys ever heard of Dr. Seuss? Yes? Do you like his books? Yeah? One of my favorite books he's written is Horton Hears a Who. Do you know that story? Have you heard of that one? No? Okay. Well, Horton is this elephant, and he was playing in a pond, and there was this little tiny speck, and he thought it called help. So he went everywhere chasing this little speck just to make sure it was safe. And when it was finally safe, well, none of the other animals wanted him to chase this little speck. They put him in a cage because they didn't want him chasing the speck. They thought the speck had nobody on it. But Horton, he's an elephant. He has intelligent hearing. So he was almost positive there's something on that speck. Well, it turns out there was a tiny town on this little speck. And Horton says, a person's a person no matter how small. In the Bible, it says something about loving your neighbor and being a good Samaritan and helping others. So Horton reminds me that you need to help others, even if they're tiny. That doesn't matter. A neighbor's a neighbor, no matter how small. And so helping others is what we want to do. Let's pray. Dear Father, help us to love you with all our hearts and love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Thank you for joining me.
Honey, Mommy has a little problem with the car. Looks like we'll be a little late getting to Grandma's.
I know you have a country to serve, but I sure could use your help right about now.
would be a lot easier if you weren't in the van.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Ty.
Thank you.
If you know me, you can realize why I chose that particular video to use as an illustration this morning. But there's no denying we live in a world full of opportunities to love our neighbor, to serve others' needs, to put them first, to let our light shine, to let love go forth. But friends, we know that the struggle is real when the moment presents itself. Depending on the time of day, or the parties involved, there's a risk factor that goes through our mind. If it seems safe, we're all in. But when things don't appear at ease, we may very well pass them by. It reminds me of the other night as we're traveling with our family to Lebanon, and there were three people at a traffic light, and they were looking for a ride. They had their duffel bags. It looked like they were just trying to get from one location to another. But inside of my mind, I thought, I'm in my Kia Soul. I really don't have the room or the ability to stop and help. But God even turned that light red so that I would think about this for a few more moments. But I'll confess this morning, I drove on by. Didn't even stop to help and offer even a cell phone if there might be someone they could call to help them. It was the time of night. It was completely dark. It was my family with me. There was just a flag of caution that was waving. But you know, I passed that moment by this very past week, and it still consumes me, wondering, as Hebrews 13:2 says, could I have entertained an angel and not even have known it by showing hospitality? There's times the challenge may be beyond our skills and abilities, perhaps like changing that tire or fixing a furnace. And we can't possibly see how we would be of any help at all. But then there's other times it's simply not convenient, like the bicycle riders having such a good time, they didn't want to be bothered. They were focused on their own endeavors and enjoying life. Or like the Christian, real men love Jesus. Looking at his watch, realizing he's already late. These moments to love our neighbors seem to appear at the worst possible times. But is it possible we're too busy? We're too caught up in our routines that when we look at the needs in the world, we're so consumed with our own plans and ideas of how we should live that we neglect loving our neighbors. Friends, divine interruptions are going to happen. The challenge for each of us this week is to ask that very question. Are the things we're so busy with making an eternal difference? Are we, friends, establishing heaven on earth? Or has our focus been so much on our own agenda, we miss out on showing God's love in a powerful way? For most of us, the reality is, we are. There's a lot of good to be done in the world, and many of us are doing that. But can we ever honestly say we're too busy to help a brother or a sister in need? If our answer is, yeah, I am, perhaps we need to ask ourselves, I'm just too busy. And we like to justify our schedules. We need to say something that the kids are active, it's keeping them out of trouble. Or there's work to be done at home, or work to be done at the church. Or our health gets in the way and we don't need those interruptions to our routines. And friends, we know our list goes on and on. But are we really that busy we can't pause and lend a listening ear? Or stop to make sure everything's okay? If we think for even one second that we are, the challenge remains to consider the eternal difference we're making. Everyone wants to know how to be saved. And we're very good at giving instructions for doing so. But friends, the journey does not stop there. As a result of our salvation, our deepest desires become to love God and love others. As we rewind and consider the video illustration, the most unlikely in our eyes, yet seemingly the most qualified, stops and offers their assistance. Society, we learn, is very quick to draw the lines between a good and a questionable person. Being a part of the motorcycle gang myself, I've seen the others respond the same way. Considering that we're hardcore, that we're rough and tough, and you know, in some cases it may be, but isn't it ironic how our perception of the unlikely candidate to serve is typically mistaken? You see, we're quick to look at the exterior, drawing conclusions based on dress, based on hairstyle, the way they carry themselves. But only God knows our hearts. Only God knows our motives. Some of the most fully devoted followers of Christ I know don't look the look. They don't pass the test of outward appearance. But before we can fully look at the parable of the Good Samaritan with any sort of perception, we need to conceive in our minds why it was so important that Jesus uses the Samaritan as the good person in the story. When we think about it, the parable is all about doing the right thing at the right time for the right reasons, regardless of who you're doing it for. Jesus is using the Samaritan because the Jews believed them to be almost subhuman and most definitely not part of the people of God. The Samaritans were Jews who settled in the northern parts of the Promised Land after Israel attained it. The major division takes place, according to Jewish teaching, at the time of King Shalmaneser's rule over Assyria. He laid siege to the northern kingdom and overthrew it in 722 BC. And as was custom by a conquering army, many people were deported back to Assyria to be used as slaves and workers in the kingdom. And with that move, the king would then replace those people with ones from his own kingdom. And he would settle them in their new home, away from home, so that their culture would spread throughout the empire. These new residents in the northern kingdom began to intermarry with the Hebrews who were not yet deported. And this is precisely where the Jewish people believe the defiling of the Jewish race began with these Samaritans. From that point on, the Jewish people were discriminatory against those from Samaria. So one of the most derogatory statements a Jewish man could say to another was, "You're a Samaritan." This was the ultimate insult against another Jewish person and would have been highly offensive to any Jew. I say this to set up the story of why it was so powerful of a teaching by Jesus. You see, Jesus was tearing down any social, ethnic, and even religious walls. And we have to believe this story, was the proverbial straw that would eventually break the camel's back in the eyes of the religious leaders of his day. So now that we've established the baseline in history, let's begin to look at the parable and how it applies for us as believers today. Now, a little more background. Structurally speaking, this parable is considered a three-point complex parable. And what that means simply is it displays a triangular structure with one role, usually the good or bad subordinate, and they're illustrated by various examples. For instance, the priest and the Levite are both examples of that one reference point. And usually what we've seen in weeks past is there's an authoritative figure in that three-point complex parable, and it represents God. However, here in this story, it doesn't hold true. As the main character is the one who is being discussed throughout, the man who was attacked by robbers. Then there are two other reference points or characters, one represented by the multiple people, the priest and Levite, and the other represented by the one person, the Samaritan. So the parable, if you have your Bibles with you or in front of your pew, actually begins in verse 25 as the lawyer is asking the question, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus is taking the opportunity as a teachable moment, even though his words are directed toward those religious leaders, it can still be directed to any who follow him and become his disciple. It continues then in verse 26 when Jesus asks the lawyer, "What is written in the law?" And the lawyer answers with what we would know as the Shema from Deuteronomy 6:4. And it basically tells the Jewish person to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then in verse 28, Jesus tells the lawyer that he is on the right track, and that if he was to live as such, he would be able to guarantee an inheritance of eternal life. But we find in verse 29, it seems as if the lawyer is looking for a loophole because he asked Jesus this question, "And who is my neighbor?" You talked about this last week with Pastor John, and you gotta love this moment. Jesus pounces on the opportunity to teach and reveal the truth to someone who's actually lost. So in verses 30 to 35, Jesus launches off into a lesson on God's kingdom, and he tells this story of the Good Samaritan. Many people draw the conclusion that Jesus never really answers the lawyer's initial question. However, when we read what Jesus says, we can see that he was actually answering the question by teaching the lawyer that our neighbor is anyone God places in our lives. And we are called to help them regardless of their place in life. So in this parable, we can see multiple areas where Jesus is teaching this lawyer who his neighbor is. How God's people are to reveal God's unconditional love to the world. Compassion for those in need, whether it be physically, emotionally, spiritually. Going that extra mile. Loving others unconditionally as God has loved us. In other words, helping without expecting anything in return. And here's where it gets a bit uneasy. Assisting those in danger. It happens in the most mundane places, in everyday places, physical, emotional, spiritual. Not forgetting that we are to see others through God's eyes and not through the fallen and broken lens of this world. So let's look at verses 33 to 35. It reads, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." We can clearly see that the Samaritan came upon a man who had been beaten and left for dead. His immediate concern was not for his own safety or any form of social structure, but that of compassion for the one who was in need. We see in verse 34 that he goes directly into a helpful mode and begins to meet the needs of the one who was hurting. What Jesus is teaching us is that our responsibility is to see that the one in need gets help. We have to realize the Levite and the priest were more concerned with rules and worried about avoiding impurities and did not clearly see that this man was not dead, but he was in need of mercy. So they passed on that opportunity to serve. But this man who helps proves by his actions the unconditional love of God. And we see in John 3:16 that same unconditional love made evident in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. His love moved him to the incarnation of his being so that he could come and give his life for the sins of his creation. God's love caused him to reach out to show compassion on a world lost and dying. Look at verse 35. We can see that this Samaritan did not stop at merely binding this man's wounds, but he picks up the man, takes him to a hotel, if you will, and cares for him. And get this, when he must leave, he leaves the owner with money to continue the care for this man. And he goes as far to say, "If it costs any more, I will repay you." Friends, that is what we talk about, going the extra mile. It's typically not something many Christians are used to doing. We're eager to help those in need and get them out of our hair, so to speak, so that we don't have to deal with them any longer. But friends, we are too eager to treat the symptom and not deal with the problem. We're called by God to go that extra mile to help those in need. We're called to share God's unconditional love, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. And the fact is, many times, it's going to cost us. It's going to upset our routine. It's going to do more than what we bargained for. But out of salvation flows the desire to show God's love. Think for just one moment what God has done for us. His love provides for all our needs. It's such a complete love that it never leaves us. It only makes sense. We would want to model this love to the world around us. But we're seeing something else in this parable. I want you to look again at verse 35. Here the Samaritan shows us his concern is for the man in need. Not for appearance sake of helping this man or to make himself look good in the eyes of others. This man helped the one in need with no expectation of anything in return. It's exactly the way God loves us. He demonstrated his love and he requires nothing in return. Now we know to fully experience that unconditional love, we must surrender completely to him. But here's the thing. He's not going to force us. He's not going to twist our arm. However, if we respond in confession of sin and repentance in our hearts to God's unconditional love, there's nothing we can do to return that favor to God. Yet, we're called to show that kind of love to those around us. reaching out to them with no expectation of return, but to help solely out of God's love. You see, it's a matter of our heart. We can see how Jesus was speaking to the heart of the lawyer. Jesus knew that there would be those who may show acts of kindness outwardly, but their heart wasn't in it. And the attitude and reason behind their charity was not what God desires. We reach out to a world in need as a response to what God has done for us. We can never repay Him, but we can be obedient to His call to love one another. This man could have walked right on by like the others, but he didn't. There are so many times we walk or we drive by a divine appointment because we simply weren't paying attention to what was happening around us. I know I'm guilty of it more than I'd like to admit. But finally, in verse 33, we find those words, "took pity on him." That, my friends, reveals so much about the character of that Samaritan man. If we flesh that out, it also means compassion. It can be defined as sympathy for the suffering of others, often including a desire to help. That compassion reveals something much deeper in this man. His concern for others tears down any social stigma or economic boundary or ethnic wall that may hinder him from doing what he knows needs to be done. God, in His infinite grace and mercy, sent His Son to a world who truly did not deserve Him. His plan of salvation was to save those who were His enemies, those who despised and hated Him. God showed great compassion in His perfect love. Friends, we are called to that same compassion when it comes to people different from us. So often, we're ready to help those who look or believe like we do. But when it's someone who looks different or believes different, we tend to pass them by. Not all of us, but we're called to love these people with that same compassion, to reach out to them and help them regardless of how the world sees them. We're called to see them as God sees them. God expects us to reach out. He calls us to minister in His name. The application this morning is this: Jesus reveals to us that our neighbor has nothing to do with who lives on our street, but everything to do with service and submission to the calling of God in our lives. When God brings someone across your path this week, that becomes our neighbor. No matter how inconvenient, no matter how irritating, no matter how costly, we're called to love them. Let's pray. Father, we know that there's opportunities all around us. We also know, Lord, we each have limitations. But Father, You have gifted us. You have given us talents. You have blessed some of us economically. And we're praying in the name of Jesus that we would use what we have to do what we can for those that God places in our path. We know, Father, that You have come to rescue the lost and broken, to care for our wounds, and to even pay that ultimate price for our healing. So, Father, we're praying, starting today, we would be true neighbors to all, allowing our lights to shine, for we know that love will find a way. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. This week, may we continue, or may we begin to let our light shine in this world. May we recognize, Scripture tells us, we will do far greater things than what the Lord has done. So cling to that promise this week, that the Spirit will guide you to love and serve one another. Amen.